Unlock your Bible. Discover the true meaning of life. Learn the cause of world problems and the astounding solution. Prove for yourself what the future holds. In the Trumpet Literature Library, you will find answers to life's most important questions. Explore these vital titles on Trumpet Bookshelf.
Welcome to Trumpet Bookshelf. I'm Grant Turgeon. Sounded like I said that weird. Sorry about that. Trumpet Bookshelf. We're broadcasting to you live this morning from the Herbert W. Armstrong College campus here in Edmond, Oklahoma, online at kpcg.fm and in the Edmond area at 101.3 kpcg.fm or kpcg.fm. It's been a pretty eventful week, obviously, with Philadelphia Youth Camp starting up here. There's 132 campers in very brightly colored shirts traversing campus all day, every day, ever since Tuesday. So that's always exciting, and it infuses quite a lot of energy into the rest of us who get to bear witness to that. Last night, my Oklahoma City Thunder traded Russell Westbrook, so with that, the state of Oklahoma's most visible, recognizable representative is gone after 11 years. People think I would be sad about that, but you actually have to care about sports a little bit more to shed a tear. But if I had been sad, I probably would have turned on some soothing music, which leads me right into what we're going to talk about today. There is a great new book or booklet put out by the Philadelphia Church of God, written by Mr. Ryan Malone, and it is titled How God Values Music. It's been out for about 7 months now, and it really is a booklet that shatters a lot of common misconceptions about music. My wife studied this booklet before I did. She got to it first, and she at one point circled an entire paragraph of the booklet and then just wrote, "Wow!" exclamation point all the way around the perimeter of the paragraph. So probably 20 times around the outside because she was so shocked by what she was reading. And there are quite a lot of wow moments in this booklet. Today, though, I'm just going to cover mainly the introduction and chapter 6. I'll just read you the table of contents here so you get an idea of what's in the booklet. The introduction is titled Expanding the Throne Room Culture. Chapter 1, Where Did Music Come From? Chapter 2, How Advanced Was Biblical Music? Chapter 3, Music Prior to the Temple? Chapter 4, Music of the First and Second Temple Periods? At chapter 5, Music in the New Testament, and chapter 6, The Importance of Music. So again, I'll just cover the introduction and chapter 6 today. The reason for that is because next week we'll get to talk with the author himself, Mr. Ryan Malone. He's busy not just with being an expert at music, but with being an expert at public speaking. He is the speech instructor for PYC, and so we've got to work around his schedule. So we're going to record that interview sometime next week ahead of time and then play that during the usual 10 a.m. Friday slot. So we'll get into a lot more of those first five chapters, especially in that interview, because I think he could really do it a lot more justice than I could. And also, I would like to encourage you listeners to go back if you can and listen to his program, his Music for Life radio program. And it's about this very same booklet. So that's basically, I think it was back in November, and I'll put a link to that in the show notes too. So let's just get into this. The reason we're covering this today actually is because it had a direct impact on me a couple of weeks ago. I woke up one Sabbath morning a couple weeks ago, and immediately like my mind was being bombarded with just, I guess, stressful thoughts mainly. And that doesn't happen often, but I think we can probably all think of a time where that has happened, where the very first thing that happens to us when we wake up is just this bombardment. So I went searching for a Key of David television program from Philadelphia Church of God Pastor General Gerald Fleury, just to get my mind on something more positive. I searched through the archives and I found his program again, from about 7 months ago, and this was titled The Measure of Music. That was initially going to be the title of this booklet, too. But this was an excellent, uplifting, edifying television program. I watched that. Then I went to PCG.church after watching that program, and I started listening to the Bible hymns. Those are available for free at PCG.church. And it was amazing how my mood soared. I felt at peace right away. All the stress just disappeared. And Mr. Flurry has a great quote about that in that Key of David. Again, that's titled The Measure of Music, clip one.
In another book of Mr. Malone's called The Institution of Praise, he quotes a Professor Levitin. The professor says, music is clearly a means for improving people's moods. Improving your mood and people's moods. To illustrate this idea, we first need to understand the Nobel Prize-winning discovery made in 1998 about how cells in our bodies create nitric oxide in waves, a gas that they release into the body tissue around them, a process called puffing. This puffing can boost cell vitality and vascular flow, aid in resistance of stress, strengthen the immune system, diminish depression, improve digestion, and impart higher levels of energy, stamina, and mental clarity. Now, that's quite a statement, that this great music can benefit you in that way. That is something that I think all of us should be concerned about. When you look at just the mental and emotional effects of music, great music, it's astounding. It seems like all of us would be very much involved in. Dr. Oliver Sacks, musician and neurologist, had this to say. He was quoting music therapist Greta Schulthorpe, and Sacks writes, quote, "There are disturbed people who become calm because of good music." Sacks also discusses music's profound effects on Parkinson's patients and amnesiacs. At the end of the book, he states that to those who are lost in dementia, music is not some trivial luxury of life, but a necessity, and can have a power beyond anything else to restore them to themselves and to others, at least for a while, and then you may have to repeat the process from time to time. But just think about all of the wonderful blessings that come from great music.
So that was Mr. Gerald Flurry in a Key of David program titled The Measure of Music. I believe that was from back in November. So as he points out there, there's a lot of benefits from uplifting music, the type of music that God actually values. Of course, there are lots of forms of wrong music too, but obviously God's church has produced a lot of material explaining the right kinds of music to listen to. And, of course, the music produced by the church or sponsored by the church is a pretty good example of those right kinds of music. Psalm 45, verse 8, at least the correct translation of it, says that string instruments gladden you. It's talking about lifting your spirits, helping your positivity, allowing your mood to soar. 1 Samuel 16, verse 23, this is a classic example of the benefit of music. 1 Samuel 16, verse 23, "And it came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him." Proper music can eliminate mental and spiritual affliction. It can drive out the dark forces of the spirit world. Obviously, there is tremendous value in music, especially when we view it from the only perspective that really matters, and that is God's. So again, this introduction, the introduction to this booklet, How God Values Music, is titled Expanding the Throne Room Culture. And in this, Mr. Malone starts out by talking about what a miracle it is that we even have the ability to appreciate music. Human beings are so much greater than the animals. Animals hear music and they might think it's strange. They might think it's out of the ordinary, because obviously they wouldn't normally hear music. But they can't appreciate it. They can't discern the different elements of music. They can't value it in any tangible way. Obviously, a great explanation of the difference between human beings and animals can be found in the late theologian and educator Herbert W. Armstrong's book, The Incredible Human Potential, and that's also available for free at thetrumpet.com. As Mr. Armstrong wrote about, the human mind actually consists of the human brain combined with the human spirit. Animals have only a brain. They don't have that crucial spiritual component. The human spirit is the bridge between human beings and God's Holy Spirit. Upon receipt of the Holy Spirit, it becomes possible for human beings to be born as sons of God, composed of actual invisible spirit matter. So that's the ultimate reason for the human spirit, so that we can be transformed into God beings. And of course, animals don't have any chance of doing that. But even just the human spirit by itself, without any connection to God at all, is a tremendous advantage over anything that the animals possess. The human spirit is the only meaningful difference between humans and animals. It is the only reason we can speak a language or multiple languages, read, write, think, plan, create, build, and appreciate culture, art, literature, and music. Your godlike mind is a miracle. So that's just a tremendous start to the booklet, isn't it? Talking about why is it that we even care about music so much at all? There's that saying that humans are musical beings. Animals certainly aren't. God certainly is. There's definitely an important reason why human beings are musical, much like God is. Here's another quote from Mr. Fleury, or another audio clip from Mr. Fleury from that Key of David program, clip 2.
Just think of all those majestic surroundings. God doesn't, he lives in great luxury, and he wants that for man. Man would have it even now if he obeyed God. But in the world tomorrow, this world is going to be filled with the same kind of luxury that God is talking about that he has. He has his throne culture that is something that is so majestic that we've never even seen anything like it.
So there, Mr. Fleury is talking about God's throne room. You can find a detailed description of this in Revelation chapter 4. But basically, God is surrounded by the highest quality gems. He's surrounded by angels who praise him constantly. Can you imagine the high morale in God's throne room when all it is not a bombardment of negativity like I experienced a couple weeks ago, but a bombardment of positive singing? Just singing out constant positivity in that throne room. What a beautiful picture that is, and a great example for the rest of us to try to follow. Here on page 4 of the How God Values Music booklet, Mr. Malone writes, God had created a being specifically to export his artistic tastes and sensibilities throughout the universe. Because Lucifer failed, that job still needs to be done. It is among the responsibilities that God subsequently transferred to human beings when he created us. So like I mentioned there earlier, human beings have a chance to become God, and with that, they have a chance to become musical geniuses like God is. They have a chance to take over the job that Lucifer should have done in spreading God's music, God's culture, the beauty of God's way of life, not just throughout the earth, but throughout the universe. Lucifer failed in that job. The third of all angels under him on earth failed in that job, even though they had every advantage. And yet, human beings are going to be so much greater than Lucifer ever was. Even before Lucifer rebelled and became Satan, human beings are going to become even more powerful and splendid than Lucifer pre-sin. Here is a quote from page 5 of the booklet. It is a biblical principle that the people associated with God, his mind, way of thinking, his laws, his culture, tend to be more advanced culturally, and they positively impact those around them. Their music becomes a cherished commodity. God's culture is a blessing. And you can see God's culture on display, at least in limited ways, in some of the nations God has been working with for thousands of years, starting with ancient Israel and then through their descendants up to this time. There's a reason why nations like America and Britain and the Jewish nation in the Middle East have such incredible blessings today, why they set the gold standard in so many different areas. And it's because God has been blessing them, and he's going to soon bless all mankind the same way. And then over here on page 9 of the How God Values Music booklet is just a staggering point. Mr. Malone writes, in Music in Ancient Israel, this is a book, Alfred Sendri wrote that the artistry of these singers must have been exquisite if Sennacherib valued them higher than the pillage and plundering of the enemy's conquered capital city. The musicians of the Davidic throne were considered a valuable part of Israel's culture. And Mr. Malone also writes, the Bible considers the musicians treasures of the king's house. So for some context there, the Assyrian king Sennacherib, when he was attacking Israel, actually did take captive some of the musicians from the king's courts. And in some ways, it seems like King Sennacherib actually valued music more than gold. Think about that. Music more than gold. He wanted to be entertained by these singers and dancers and musicians. And he might have even placed a higher value on that than he did on gold. At least in that way, Sennacherib might have been thinking like God. That's probably the only way he was. Here's page 10 from the How God Values Music booklet. The Bible actually reveals the answers to foundational historical questions regarding music. Where did music come from? Which ancient civilization was most responsible for cultivating and developing it? I sort of already hinted at that one. How advanced were melody and harmony in the ancient world? Was it a steady evolution, with mankind stumbling along from one serendipitous discovery to the next until we finally reach the musical advancement of today? The Holy Bible records the answers to all these questions, yet musicologists rarely consider it a valid source and have never relied on it. What a shame. The Bible gives us the foundation of all knowledge for us to acquire in this entire physical life, including about music. And yet, for the most part, human beings scoff at the Bible being a valuable source. So we're going to jet over to chapter 6 at this point. Like I said, bookending the booklet and having Mr. Malone on the show next week to fill in the gaps. This is chapter 6, titled The Importance of Music. Here, Mr. Malone makes a valuable point as well. Music should be considered more than an extracurricular activity, a hobby, or an escape from everyday life. Now, it can be all of those things, but it's also much more. Page 79 says, and this is quoting Jamie James in The Music of the Spheres, throughout most of the history of our culture, music was itself an essential part of life's business. It was taken for granted throughout the whole history of the West that music was a defining human activity, and therefore every educated person was trained in the rudiments of music. Obviously, music was, until recently, considered much more than a hobby. Consider another powerful example, and that's just the example of God's work. Think about how much music is valued and prioritized in God's work. The music programs here at our K-12 school, Imperial Academy, and at Herbert W. Armstrong College include private lessons, ensembles, choir, orchestra, Irish dance, and ballet. And those efforts culminate in about 3 or 4 music recitals each semester. We have a congregational choir here in Edmond. There's a music appreciation course required for all students to take at Armstrong College. At PCG Church, pcg.church, the website, there are 21 CDs available for free, consisting of Bible hymns, music soundtracks, Philadelphia Singers albums, background music, and actually much more than that, too. Think about weekly Sabbath services. 5 hymns are sung every service, along with piano accompaniment. We have special music in the middle of services. There's music to accompany monetary offerings on the holy days. Every year at the feast, we have the festival choir at every site around the world. There are numerous entertainment nights, not just in Edmond, but in plenty of other congregations and at other feast sites too. And those entertainment nights often are filled heavily with musical acts. You have the Armstrong International Cultural Foundation Concert Series, which holds about probably 8 to 10 events every season from the fall through the spring. And that's right here in Armstrong Auditorium. And these concerts display the very best of the human spirit. And then just think about this radio station. All day long, in between shows like this, you have music playing, and it's the right kind of music. Historically, men of God have always deeply valued music the way God does. King David employed 4,000 musician priests. Could you imagine 4,000 people joining together to make music? That probably was heard in neighboring nations. That must have just been an overwhelmingly loud noise of rejoicing. But that's how much David cared about it. And you have to think of David as pretty much a really high morale king. I forgot to even mention, last night there was the teen talent contest for the Philadelphia youth campers and other teenagers. They did that live at Armstrong Auditorium, and I was pretty much already in dreamland by the time that event was starting. But Anya told me later that Loma was watching those performers on stage from the comfort of our living room on screen, and then she'd run down the hall to her miniature piano and start slamming on that piano. So Loma, our 2-year-old, was immediately inspired to go try to replicate what she was seeing there at the teen talent contest. So David had thousands of musicians employed. Thankfully for him, and mostly him, we have the Book of Psalms, and from that, the Bible hymnal used by the church. The great patriarch Abraham basically ruled Austria for a long time, and he established a culture that is among the very best in the world, even to this day, many thousands of years later. And, you know, musicians like Mozart are from there. Mr. Armstrong commissioned his brother Dwight to create the Bible hymnal. He was actually known to play the piano for guests at his home. Mr. Fleury is passionate about church music programs. He attends almost every concert and recital. He watches recordings of the events he misses almost every time. And he's a singer too, although all the best to you if you try to get him to sing to you. Page 81 of this booklet says that there is a right of all people to a musical education. There are a lot of rights discussed today, but this is an actual right. This is something that we all need as part of a well-rounded education. We need to learn about music. God wants to transform you into a musical genius, and he will if you let him. Psalm 51, verse 16 shows that we won't just beautify the earth through music and other means. We will also expand godly music into the universe. Thanks for listening today. Like I said, I will include Mr. Malone's Music for Life episode about this booklet, as well as Mr. Fleury's Key of David episode about this booklet, and a link to the booklet itself in the show notes. And next week, you will hear that interview with Mr. Malone about this booklet. I'm Grant Turgeon. This has been Trumpet Bookshelf.
You've been listening to Trumpet Bookshelf. Please email your thoughts to comments at kpcg.fm. Listen for new episodes every Friday at 10 a.m. Central Time.